This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Premier Aftermarket Podcast. I'm Carm Capriato. Now, with over 1,000 episodes between the different formatted shows, you can't help but binge and consume great, great content. As automotive service professionals, you know it's our job to educate our customers and our clients, but did you ever stop and think about your approach to it? What is the best way to efficiently communicate with each individual client based on how they like to receive information? Well, in this episode with Emily Chung from Auto Niche, we discuss how and why it is important to code your customers and train your employees on how to do that. This is all about the four basic styles of communication. Hey, thank you, Apex and Shopware, for sponsoring this episode. You know, imagine this, a simulated real-world shop environment with 8 service bays, lifts, and vehicles, allowing you to see product demos and talk capabilities, benefits, and how to use it all in real time. Well, welcome to the new Joe's Garage at Apex 2021, November 2nd through the 4th in Las Vegas. Live in Las Vegas, Joe's Garage, and I'll have my studio there too. Visit AAPEXshow.com. For more information, hope to see you there. Hey, ring, ring, it's the 2020s calling, and they're telling you it's time for an upgrade. Head on over to the internet and type in getshopware.com, and these friendly folks are excited to meet you and share all that cloud-based shop management has to offer. On the web at getshopware.com. Hey, don't forget to like and follow, subscribe, and share on my social media. Love to have you join. The key talking points for this episode with Emily Chung reside at remarkableresults.biz/E636. Hey, a warm welcome to Emily Chung from Auto Niche, family-friendly auto repair in Markham, Ontario. Hello, Emily.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great, thank you. A licensed automotive service technician. She teaches in the Automotive Business School of Canada at Georgian College, and a degree in psychology and business. Man.
I have been around. What can I say?
I know. You've been so nice. You've been on the podcast before, and thank you for being a great contributor. The last time we were on with the ladies, we were kind of talking about, the bird test and, what kind of communication style are you? And then Emily and I reached out and said, hey, let's do this, Carm, because, I have figured out how to classify our customers in the DISC profile. And basically, everybody knows about the bird test because someone took DISC, DISC, and related it to an animal and the kind of, how we would know an eagle in an owl and a peacock and a dove. But basically, it's the DISC test.
It is formally known as a DISC, but then, even at my shop, we don't call them by the birds. We have our own names. So a lot of, you'll see it recycled through and people put their own names through. So, yeah.
Yes, they do. And I went through this many, many years ago and had to learn a whole new way to communicate so if I wanted my message to get through to people. And it's basically appreciating and respecting communication styles. So you said, hey, Carm, I do this for our customers. And I think it's a great idea. How do you crash through an individual who is a direct or a dominant person to a high I, which is a spirited peacock type person? And you cannot have your dominant discussion with them if you're trying to sell them something or get their car to be, up to safety standards. There's a gap. There's an immediate gap. So I am here just willing to learn everything that you can teach us on how to bring this to our customer base.
So it's really interesting. Like when we think about communication, it really is about educating the customer, the client, right, about their vehicle. At the end of the day, they're going to make the decision to whether they're going to buy something or not from us, right? We just want to be able to communicate them well enough so that the education piece goes on. And we respect that at the end of the day, they're going to make the decision, right? So it's not, when I talk about this, sometimes people are like, oh, aren't you like, manipulating them? And I'm like, no, this is about communicating with them in a way that they'll understand. And when I think about even my students, they learn in many different ways. And so my ability as a teacher, as a professor, is to adapt my teaching style in a way that they'll be able to understand. And, you know, before we get into the actual nitty gritty of it all, you know, another example that I like to give is, you know, even with my own kids, so I have two boys, and, you know, one of them, for the purposes of our conversation today, I'm going to talk about, you know, the quadrants as a controller, analyst, promoter, and supporter. It's still, again, just renamed in different things. And I'll explain a little bit more, but as to each quadrant, I have my oldest son who's an analyst. Now he is, I think, the peacock. He is the one who analyzes, right? He has data. And then I have my younger son who is the promoter, who's about fun and, you know, all that, very high energy level. And you know what? If I try to ask them to do homework, I can't use the same style for both of them because, you know, my oldest one understands that, okay, if he does all this homework, then he'll get free time after and that's the reward, right? My younger one, promoter, wants the reward first, you know, and then he'll leave the homework for later. So even my ability as a mom to be able to talk to them about the importance of doing homework, something like that, you know, it's, and I'm in the controller side, so I'm the more dominant one, right? So again, like to be able to step into the different quadrants and talk to them, and that way I find the communication is a lot better. It's not perfect. I'm not saying that I do this consciously all the time with my kids, and they'll attest to that, I'm sure. It's just that being more aware of it.
Someone asked me a while back, Carm, where do you get your energy? And I had to think about it. And I said, well, what do you mean? He says, well, do you get your energy by being alone? Do you get your energy by being with a group of people? Do you get your energy by getting in front of people? And I realized that I get my energy by being with people, which describes that I have spirited peacock stuff going on with me. Although I have dominance above the line, and let's not get into the nitty gritty part of, you know, what the disc chart looks like. Where do you get your energy? Where do you get yours?
Me personally, I don't get it from people, actually.
See, that's why you're a direct and you're an eagle. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, totally. So, you know, and then the other example I give is babies, right? Babies and puppies. If you've ever seen grown adults, grown people talk to babies and puppies, we are ridiculous. Right? We talk to the babies, talk to the puppies, and all of a sudden our eyes are animated. We're like way more upbeat. And then we say stupid, crazy things, right? Oh, you good boy, as a buzzer, you know? And the way why we do that, I think, I'm just going to pitch it out there. The reason why we do that is because there's no expectation for us that these babies and puppies are going to come up to our level, come into our quadrant, so to speak, of communication. So we adapt to them. So the idea that, you know, can you adjust your communication style? Is it possible? 100%. You see it all the time. It's just a question of, are we intentional about it? Are we aware of it? And then also, do we understand, you know, the different quadrants? So yeah, next time you see babies and puppies, just, you know, think about it that way. It's possible for sure.
I had a very hard learning curve with a dominant boss and me being a peacock. And until I really appreciated this, you know, disc and communications style, and that I needed to have his conversation with him, not mine, did I crash through the barriers and then ultimately get him to appreciate me and listen to me and brainstorm with me once I satiated his style.
Yep. And it's the responsibility of the communicator, right? You know, and so if you are, and my staff, you know, for the most part know this too, that I sit in the controller quadrant. And so when they approach me for things that they want to communicate with me on, you know, they choose to come into that quadrant. So however, if I'm speaking with my staff about certain things, you know, it's my responsibility then to move into their quadrant so that I can communicate with them a little bit better. Prior to coming into the trades, I was a psychometrist for a little bit as well. And so I would do, as a psychometrist, we're doing testing all the time. This is what we do. Test, analyze data, make recommendations, you know. And I mean, I had one patient at a time, 5 hours each session, and I would just run batteries of tests on them and gather all that data. This type of thing really is really interesting to me, and I have just seen the fruit of it, so to speak. So in terms of why we code our clients, we have a quick way, and I'll share with it a little bit, in terms of how we code them. You know, just in the conversation, we can pretty much, and it's not set in stone. So if I incorrectly code somebody, you know, as an analyst, you know, and I figure out after talking with them a little bit more, okay, maybe they were, you know, super stressed out when they first talked to me or whatever, I can always change it. It's not set in stone at all. It's just providing us a baseline for, you know, how we might approach a conversation. The other thing that is beneficial for is, especially in a business like mine, where we have a service advisor, but you know what, sometimes I'll pick up the phone or my administrator might pick up the phone. And so if we can quickly look up their communication style, then we can adapt into how we communicate with them, right? So that's another reason why we choose to code our clients. Now, it's all in our shop management system. It's so, you know, Carm, if you were my customer, it would have a little note here of, you know, you being an analyst or you being a peacock, right? So that anybody who picks up the phone, looks up your name, will know.
Hey, Carm here. And proper training with your employees on this coding method is critical. Emily explains how to do it. Hey, imagine being able to see new product, tools, and equipment demos in a simulated real-world shop environment, complete with 8 service bays, lifts, vehicles, and a service counter. And in the same time, being able to have face-to-face communication with representatives of leading companies to ask questions and talk product capabilities, benefits, and utilization. That's what awaits you in the new Joe's Garage at Apex 2021, November 2nd through the 4th in Las Vegas. It's early in the planning stages, but already big names have reserved bays in Joe's Garage, including Autel, BG Products, Bosch, Coates, Hunter Engineering Company, and Napa Auto Care. Watch for additional companies to participate in the coming months and an official schedule of demos in the summer. Joe's Garage is part of the new Repair Shop HQ. It's an area dedicated specifically to service and repair. And it's located on Level 1 of the Sands Expo. Visit aapexshow.com for more info. I want to let you in on a little secret. Investing in a cloud-based shop management system could be the smartest purchase you make in 2021. Manual processes can really add up and cost your shop unnecessary time and money. Now, if you're writing out repair orders, you're wasting time. If you're chasing customers for approvals, you're wasting time. If you're manually calculating invoices or logging into multiple systems, you're wasting time. And if you're wasting time, well, then you're wasting money. Do me a favor, pull up Chrome, Safari, or whatever browser you use and type in getshopware.com. Click on the Book a Demo button in the upper right corner and check out Shopware's amazingly efficient software. Trust me, you won't regret it. Again, that's getshopware.com. If I walked in the door and they quickly figured out my license plate, or it comes up and says, "Hey, Carm, how are you?" they would immediately see the communication moniker you put on me, and you have spent time with them to understand and appreciate who they are, communication style, and what have you done internally to teach your people how to have that conversation with them.
So let's go over the quadrants a little bit, and that way we can have a practical, you know, example. Because, you know, we can have one inspection report. I mean, the car is the car is the car. The inspection report doesn't change. It's now just a question of how we're communicating it. So, for example, the different quadrants that we have are labeled as controller, analyst, promoter, and supporter. How we figure this out is we have, you know, the same quadrant grid. So on one line, we have, you know, are they task-oriented or are they people-oriented? Do you get recharged by task or people? Sort of like the question you asked me. And then on the other side, on the other line, it is whether or not they are more structured or they are not structured, right? So if you are more structured and you're task-oriented, then you are in the controller quadrant. So those are the people in your life that are probably very direct, to the point, you know, not much for details, they just, you know, get it done, that kind of thing, right? And then if you are higher on the structured side, but more towards the people side, then you are an analyst. And those are the people in your life who want to know all the details. They're, you know, when they go tire shopping, they want to know every single thing about the specs, you know, and they're just, they love a lot of accountants. I'm sorry if anybody's there an accountant, but a lot of them are kind of in this space, right? And then if you are people oriented and more structured, then you are considered a promoter, and promoters are the one who are, you know, energetic, and they're always first on the bandwagon, and, you know, they're also very structured in what they do. They kind of have that get it done kind of energy. At the same time, they're like, you know, fun and that type of thing. And then if you have somebody who is not structured and more people oriented, then they are supporters. So these are the people in your life who love harmony, who are good at connecting, who genuinely have that, you know, heart for, not that we don't, not that, you know, and the other quadrants don't, but they have a natural gift, right, for hospitality, that kind of thing. So those are the four quadrants. So even when somebody calls in to book an appointment, you know, we can get a good feel for where they might land. And again, we will adjust it. If they come in and they totally present a different way, then we'll adjust it. But for example, when somebody calls in for an appointment, if I was on the controller side, I'd be like, hey, you know, it's Emily calling. I've got this car. I'm looking for this appointment. I want to get an oil change. You know, how long is it? What, like, very direct, right? If it's somebody who is on a promoter side, when they call in, they're also usually very high end. Hey, how's it going? Blah, blah, blah. You know, just calling in for an oil change. What have you got? You know, they're a little bit more of that energy. Somebody who's an analyst, you know, will have multiple options, multiple times, you know, that they can, you know, fit this appointment in, that kind of thing. So even on a phone call, you can kind of get a sense for where they might be. And the faster my advisor can switch into the quadrants, then the better it is.
There you go. There's the key. So you're a controller. I'm a promoter. I pick up the phone and says, hey, Emily, it's Carm. How are you? Hey, I'd love to book an appointment. What do you got? You can't just say, you know, name, rank, and serial number. Let's, you know, next. And so you've been able to teach your people. This is, hey, Carm, how you been? You know, blah, how's the family and everything? Let me see what I can find for you. What's convenient? You have to get out of your shell, your mold, your character, quote, and become me, or at least communicate to me like that.
Yeah. And you know what? We're not always fixed in our quadrant too, right? There are moments when I'm in a different quadrant, but for the most part, I am comfortable and I sit in the controller side. So if a promoter calls me, I already told you that, you know, I don't get recharged by people. So when a promoter calls me, they are people oriented. They are task directed, right? I'm sorry, they're structured and people. So when a promoter calls me, it's my responsibility then to bring up my energy level and to engage them in a conversation that is more, you know, hey, how's it going? Long time, no talk.
But that's out of the box for you. That's uncomfortable.
I'll be very honest with you. What really helped me was that finally accepting the fact that I love my quadrant. And that me being in another person's quadrant is just a temporary thing. And it's because I want to be able to communicate with them. In fact, I'm here to serve them, right? So I'm here to be part of their quadrant temporarily, knowing full well that I will come right back to my own quadrant and sit in my little comfortable pool.
We have to stop for a moment and we have to drill that home. I love my quadrant. And temporarily, I'm going to come over here. It's kind of uncomfortable, but I'm going to go there. And I can't wait to come back here. And if you can have my conversation with me, albeit temporary, you're going to be pretty darn successful.
You know, we're not saying, you know, even my advisors and my staff, when I talk to them about this, I'm not saying you got to change and be somebody you're not. And I mean, trust me, when I have conversations with other controllers, it's fantastic. Like, it's awesome, right? And I'm not asking them to be somebody that they're not. All I'm asking is that, you know what, at the end of the day, we're here to serve our clients. And how can we do that to the best of our abilities? It means for a temporary section of time that we step into somebody else's quadrant. Interestingly enough, the quadrant that is opposite to you, kitty corner to you, is the quadrant that you would feel most uncomfortable in. So, you know, it's sort of our own journey in terms of growth to be able to jump in and out of these quadrants. And you don't have to be inauthentic. It's just, you know, you understand that I'm not faking who I am. I'm just stepping into this because I care about this person and I want to be able to communicate what's right, you know, for them.
Oil and water. And not only does this work on the service counter, not only does this work in the arena of sales, great leaders know this.
Yes. And so they utilize it. And again, it's called in different ways that, you know, our measure of a true leader, I believe, is our ability to move into these quadrants and to speak in a way that is effective for the listener. So we have these kind of, you know, bare bones, way of classifying somebody, you know, in the profile at our shop, each client has a little code for, you know, what their style might be. Again, so if I have an inspection report that comes in, right? So we have digital vehicle inspections. When it comes in, you know, it's the same car. I think, as I mentioned this before, the car is a car is a car. That doesn't change. What changes is our way of presenting the inspection report so that the client understands what's actually happening with the car. Because think of it this way. Somebody who's not naturally driven with details is not going to appreciate that the brakes are now at 5 millimeters. They used to be at, you know, 6. Minimum safety is 2. I mean, they're not going to appreciate that details. Somebody who's an analyst will actually be thinking about those details. That's the interesting thing. Once you kind of figure out where the quadrants are and you choose to step into them, when you present the inspection report, it's the exact same report. You know, so with a controller, with the brakes, if they need to get it done, you know, I might say, yep, you know, they're at 3 millimeters, minimum safety is at 2. I won't necessarily tell them what they were at before, not because I don't want to tell them, it's just because that's probably not relevant to what they want to hear. And then I will say, you know what, it's this much to fix. It's going to be this much time. We're going to have it ready by the end of the day. Would you like to get it done? You know, a controller is very more direct, right?
I love this. And the challenge as I'm driving down the highway listening to this podcast and saying, oh, Carm, thanks for doing this. But this whole thing poses me a challenge here. And Carm asked this really tough question of Emily. So now I've gone through and I understand this and I've coded my people. How do I teach my staff how to get into an uncomfortable zone, or don't worry about the 5:30 seconds with Carm because it's not going to matter. The brakes are good or they're bad. Have you spent time? You're shaking your head. That's good. You've spent time to teach your people how to do this.
Carm, I have a whole PowerPoint presentation I run through with my staff,
cool.
Whoever I'm planning to, you know, whoever I'm teaching this to.
Yes.
So, you know, first off, we talk about, I mean, very first is I have them put themselves in a quadrant, because you really got to know where you're at before you can even attempt to go into a different quadrant. And then I run through, you know, how the different quadrants, we code them. Then we talk about the pros and cons of each quadrant. You know, how do we come as a controller? I come off, fully admittedly, I come off very harsh sometimes, right? Very direct, almost stubborn, too directed, that kind of thing. And so that's a con, right? However, there's pros to being in the controller side, right? We are to the point, we get things that it's very, you know, it's very quick usually in that sense. So I go through pros and cons with the staff. They understand which quadrant they sit in. It's really interesting once you have your staff in the quadrants, because they can kind of even see each other. How, oh, you know what? Like, I can see this. The other advisor or the other technician is like this. And yeah, I can totally see that play out. You know, then we talk a little bit too about even their personal life. I mean, spouses, right? If you have children, like anybody that you're closely connected with, you can start to see your mom, like my mom, for crying out loud. You know what I mean? You can start to see where they kind of sit and where the miscommunication, where the friction, all that happens. So I think once my staff understand, and then the exercise then is, okay, now that you know the general guidelines for the quadrants, you know, how can we take, so I take one inspection report and we just practice. How do you present this to a supporter? How do you present this to, you know, a promoter, even calling them to pick up the car with a controller. It is like, hey, you know what? Vehicle's ready whenever you want to come in, blah, blah, blah. With a supporter, it might be, hey, you know, vehicle's ready. Everything went well. It's all good to go. You might notice this, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Like, it's just different.
Assure me. Yes. You're calling up a controller and saying, listen, I know your time is valuable. When do you want to come in? Ah, I mean, that whole time bound, I need answers and I need it quick because I'm busy on to the next topic. Don't tell me what the weather is at your shop and that I should bring an umbrella. No, don't do that.
Yeah. And you know what? It's not to say that the other quadrants aren't busy. You know, like, it's interesting because, you know, just because one quadrant is one way doesn't mean that it, you know, all the other quadrants are not like this, right? A supporter is busy too, except that they get recharged by different things. You know, and so honoring that is something that is important to keep in mind when we do work in these quadrants. Now, I will tell you, even after, you know, training my staff and all this stuff, you know, it's up to the staff if they want to implement this, right? And be intentional about this. At the end of the day, you know, I fully recognize I can teach them and I can, you know, train them and coach them, you know what. And if they don't have a heart for it, then I get to figure something else out. Not everybody's going to jump on board with this.
So where can I get a disc? In the we did an episode, oh God, years ago on disc, and there was a free from the Tony Robbins site. I know for sure that you could go get a disc profile. And if it still exists, I will put it in the show notes of this episode. I also created a while back this chart on how to communicate with the different disc styles, depending on what yours is. And I want to throw that in there. And if you have anything that you would love to share with the audience, and if you know they go to the show notes page, they'd be able to get this. They're saying, I want to do this so bad, but how do I start? Yeah.
I'll definitely give you the how we code them, the quick way of how we do it. And there's many different ways. I mean, again, from my background in psychometry, there's many different ways of assessing somebody. We just like this method because it is easy, it's simple, it's quick, you know, and it's just been so effective.
Psychometry, teach me what that means.
Psychometry is, so we all know, we've heard of psychologists and psychiatrists. Psychometrists are the ones who run the tests and administer all the surveys, administers all these tests, and we do the statistical analysis, and we do our recommendations.
Got it. Wow.
So I've got a whole file on you already, Carm.
Well, wait a minute. Let's unseal that. Let's look at that. Oh my God, it's great. Well, look at this was great. And of course, we can't teach people, you know, how to ride a bike on a podcast, but we can sure give them some guidance as to how they could get up and on and, you know, turn those pedals around. So perfect. I love it. I so appreciate this. I think we'll take the show notes. We'll write the key talking points. And as I've always said about all the podcasts that we do, you could just go to the show notes page on the website, click copy, cut and paste the talking points and create your own meeting agenda or your own action plan to do this inside your own business. Oh, Emily Chung, Auto Niche, Markham, Ontario, the family-friendly auto repair shop in her community. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks, Carm.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.